How are we doing now? Okay, we got sound. Welcome again to the church. We hope that you have a great time today worshiping with us. Like I mentioned today before, we had communion, and for the ones who had never been here in communion, I want to explain to you a little detail. After our sermon here, we will have a time for the foot washing ceremony. In the back of the church, we have three classrooms. One is assigned for the gentlemen who want to do foot washing. Another one is for the ladies who want to do foot washing. And we had one special for couples. So if you want to do the foot washing with your spouse, you can go there. If you would rather stay here at church, you are welcome to stay. We would like everybody, you know, to participate in communion and encourage you to partake in communion today. With that in mind, let's move to the portion of the scripture that I want to study with you today. Please open your Bibles in the book of Mark, chapter 10. I want to do some reading here in Mark 10. This is the setting for our study today. Here in my Bible, New King James Version, this is what the Bible says. Then he arose from there and came to the region of Judea, by the other side of the Jordan, and multitudes gathered to him again. As he was accustomed, he taught them again. The Pharisees came and asked him, "It is lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" testing him. And he answered and said to them, "What did Moses command you?" So the setting for the first part of the study today, it had to do with family relationships. And the question that they were asking Jesus is, can a man divorce his wife? If I ask you the same question today to you, can a man divorce his wife, what would be your answer? Probably yes, right? There's many reasons for divorce today. What are the most common reasons for divorce today? Well, difference in personality can be one. Finances. People get a lot of divorces today because they use money. Abuse, verbal, physical, some kind of mistreatment in marriages can lead to divorce. Silly difference today. Yeah, people use any excuse today to get divorced. For somebody, I don't like the way that she laughs, or I don't like the way that he snores. So it used to be before that they enjoyed that, but it gets to the point that they dislike each other. And so let me ask you, in a very candid way, if you feel free to answer to me, have anyone here been married for 40 years? 40. All right, I know, and your anniversary is coming. Do you mind if I ask you, for how long have you been married? And Dix, yes, you.
Oh, think 45.
All right. So you're getting close to the diamond celebration, and congratulations to all of you. Anyone here married for more than 30 years? All right, some of you. Anyone more than 60 years married? Barney, are you getting close to that? All right. Well, we have a big celebration for Barney and Leslie. For the ones who have been married, we get to the point and we realize that marriage is complicated, right? It can be challenging. It requires a lot of effort, a lot of work. It's not something that you took, like the little kid was asking, it's something that you need to take prayerfully and seriously before making that decision. Because it's very important and it can affect many, many people around you. For the ones who maybe here had to go through a divorce, then you can realize and sympathize with somebody who had gone through that pain. It's a very difficult thing to go. It hurts your heart, it affects your life, and it leaves you a scar. But in the story today, the question was designed to place Jesus in a trouble, right? It's like somebody will ask you today, how do you start beating your wife? Right? You know that there's no way that you can answer that question. If you say no, then oh, you continue beating her, right? And if you say yes, oh, that's good that you start beating her, right? So you will lose in any answer that you give. This is one of these kind of questions. If Jesus will say, no, you shouldn't divorce your wife, then they will say, well, he is not respecting Moses. because Moses allowed the people to divorce their wives. And he will say yes, then they will blame Jesus. Oh, here is a liberal. He doesn't care for God's ordinances, and he doesn't respect the family. So it was a tricky question, trying to place Jesus in a hot spot. Remember, previous to Jesus, another prophet made public comments against a king, King Herod, that it was Mary, his brother's sister. Remember that story? And how that ended for this poor fellow. He got decapitated because the woman took offense to that, and she made every effort to get the prophet killed. So Jesus is in a very difficult situation here, and I need you to go with me to the origin of this question. You need to go to Deuteronomy 24. That's what they are referring in answer to what Moses explained to them. All right, so let's go do some reading here in this chapter. Because I'm being written in Hebrew and in different versions, and you find it's a little tricky. Deuteronomy 24:1, that's the key text for our story today. When a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some uncleanliness. In another version say, because he found something that displeased him, or because he finds something that offends him. And that little word right there in Hebrew, actually, it means finding somebody new, naked, exposing your body in a shameful way. But the writer of the Old Testament, he wants to be very delicate, and that's why they are using these other words to be more euphemistic, right? They don't want to offend anyone's sensibility. So what the writer is saying is, if you find your wife in a compromising situation, maybe with another man, right? Like implying sexual immorality, then that's grounds for what? For divorce. But 2,000 years later, in Jesus' time, people were discussing about this because they were following the tradition. And the tradition say two different things. One is argue that the only legal reason to divorce your wife was because adultery. That was the only reason. And the other group say, no, you can divorce your wife for whatever reason you want. She burned the rice, divorce her, you know, send her home. You don't like her anymore because she's getting old, hey, divorce her, get a younger one. You don't like her because she's grumpy, hey, give. But pay attention that the law was beneficial for the men's side. It doesn't say, can a woman divorce her husband for any reason, right? What the text is saying is, can a man divorce? So being a man in Jesus' time was comfortable. You know, anyone can divorce their wives for any reason. So these two currents of thought were prevalent in Jesus' time. In fact, you will discover at the end of the same chapter in Mark that the disciples were into that field, that they thought that you can divorce your wife for any reason. But then Jesus elaborated a little bit more and explained why not, right? So let's go back to Mark chapter 10 and do some reading in there. Jesus answered to them, what did Moses command you? And they say, Moses permit a man to write a certificate of divorce and to dismiss her. And Jesus answered and said to them, because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this present. Meaning, Moses had to do this to slow you down, to avoid more divorces, because the people at the time was very mean and cruel. They will divorce their wife for any reason. And again, this is a society where men had all the privilege. If a woman was divorced, she was sent home with a letter, and basically to her family, with nothing. The husband didn't have to pay alimony or any resources. So she was going empty-handed. And in that society, the value of the woman was established by the virginity. So she is no longer in the eyes of that society, what? Valuable. So it's kind of like a news element. What men would want to marry a woman under that circumstances? And that's why it was difficult for people like Mary Magdalene that he happened to be a prostitute. Her reputation, her value in the society was below zero. Nobody really cared for her because they were attaching a value not to the person, but to whom this person was. And in this case, the husband was the one who giving the woman value. So I'm pretty sure, I will tend to think that the ladies here today don't agree with this kind of society, right? That is only beneficial or empowering men. But Jesus is trying to explain to them there is a problem beyond the situation. And the problem is not because marriage is complicated or it's difficult. The problem is because we are heartless. We can be cold, right? And he's pointing them back to the Genesis. He's telling them, look, go to Genesis and you will discover what God did, the way that he created the couple, and they encouraged them to get married. And he go beyond that. He say, what God had united, let no man divide, right? So don't use any excuse unless, Jesus say again, because adultery. But remember, adultery is something that according to the Bible can be forgiven, right? Because when it's multitude of love, the love will cover the sins, right? That's not what 1 John said. So even that situation can be forgiven. And that was something that they didn't set well with the disciples. I'm speaking about the followers of Jesus. After the meeting, pay attention what happened in verse number 10. In the house, his disciples also asking again about this matter. So he said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if a woman divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery, assuming against him. Noting that the adultery is not against God, right? The sin of adultery is against another human being, another person. When you are adultering, you are taking your husband's or your wife's rights and giving it to someone else. So it's an offense that we do to our neighbor, to people that is close to us. And the context of the test indicates to you, in other Gospels, you can read in Matthew and another is part of the story, that the disciples didn't agree with that story. They thought it's better to be single. If that's the case, that you cannot divorce your wife for any reason, I won't want to get married. And then Jesus explained to them, no, don't do that. That will create a bigger what? Bigger problem, right? That only happened to certain people that can be single. But the majority of us, we need to get married and stay in that circumstance. Please follow me to the following story, because these stories are connected in Mark. Verse 13, then they brought little children to him that he may touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. And then Jesus saw it, and he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. And so you will think, if you are reading casually the Gospel of Mark, well, Jesus is dealing with family matters here, right? The first story is about marriage, and the second story is about what? Children, right? So you have to be patient with the kids. But the writer of the gospel has something different in mind, and this is what I want you to think about it, to take home today. I want to suggest you to think about this. What the writer of the gospel is trying to present to the reader today in 2018, to you and to me, is that the disciples of God can have serious issues with our heart. Meaning, we can be a very, very religious people and be very, very cold. Do you think that can happen to us? That can happen to you. You know, when we moved to this district many, many years ago, five years ago. I don't want to overextend it, but it sounds like it's many, many, many years. We discovered that we didn't have any kids at the church at the time. And I don't know if you remember that we were praying for God to bring kids, right? You remember that part? So what happened when kids come to church? How they normally behave at church? They make noise. What else? They will cry. They don't like to sit longer because they get bored, right? They are small, so they cannot see really well. They want to try to see what's going on. You think that they are not listening, but a lot of the times they are paying attention to what you're saying. Like Anne mentioned before, they are watching you and they are watching me. They are learning through our behavior. And it's interesting to notice that we want kids, but it seems like it was such a long time ago that we get annoying with kids, right? It's like the kids kind of irritate you a little bit. But we need to be patient. You remember that time when you used to have little kids and they were small and you had to go and change diaper and they start crying? I remember once we decided to go with my family to one of these theme parks here in Georgia. And it was like around middle of the day and my son requires a diaper change. And it was father duty. And so my wife, of course, assigned me the bag with the wipes and the diapers and go take care of the situation. So it's one of these situations that you get to the bathroom and open the diaper and you discover this is a mess. You know, you don't know where how to start here, what part I need to clean, because whatever you touch, you get something. That was that kind of situation for me. And you will probably say, no, Pastor, that's not what I have in mind when I was thinking about kids, right? What do you remember about kids? When they wake you up at midnight because they have an ear infection and you don't have a clue what's going on? Remember that? When you don't know what to give them because they are so tiny that any medication can do more harm than good, that they don't speak, they don't tell you what's going on, or they are so small, they are learning to walk and they fell and they hurt themselves. So it's a lot of memories that I have. I was watching Camden today collect the offering. I don't know if you noticed, but she's one of these kids who grab coin by coin and put it into the bag, right? And parents are telling them, don't put it in there. And I remember when Robin was here telling Brooklyn, little Brooklyn, Brooklyn, throw the whole money there. And she was one penny at a time, right? When we had all the time of the world. Because they move in a different universe than the one that we move ourselves. Why I mention this to you? Because the disciples get angry with kids. They didn't have the patience to deal with kids. They were so good. They would like to do miracles. They would like to pray. They would like to be the speakers of Jesus Christ. But when it gets to kids, they didn't have the patience for that. So Jesus is trying to remind them then that unless we all behave like a little kid in the sense of having a heart that is like a child, right? That is open to God, that is innocent, that is pure, we will not enter in heaven. So the lesson here in Mark 10 is about in what condition is your heart? Is your heart in a tender, soft condition that God can influence still to you? In fact, if you read the title of the sermon today, it's a lesson in cardiology. Do you remember what cardiology means? Cardio means heart, and logos means science, right? So it's a science of the heart. And Jesus is trying to explain to them, listen, because you are my representatives, you are my disciples. If you continue behaving in this matter, with this heart, you are no more different than the Pharisees. You are like them. What was the problem of the Pharisees? They were very, very good in appearances, right? They were very, very good in behavior. Some people made that a religion. You want to have a good behavior. You don't want to make any mistakes. You want everybody to look at your family and say, wow, what a perfect family this guy had, right? What is the deal with that? We all know what is the truth. We had families too, right? Nobody's perfect. We know that we all struggle with different issues. So what Jesus is trying to tell them is, stop being such a religious bunch and focus on the matters that really are important. And the matters that are important, at least in the context of this portion of the scripture, is your heart in a good shape? Is in a good condition? We have a guest speaker here a few months ago, Dr. Pavlov, you remember? And probably you had heard from Gabriela too in many occasions, that when we have a bad diet, when we take the wrong food, and we can create a problem in our arteries and in our heart. What is the name of that disease? Do you remember that? The arteriosclerosis. That's when your arteries start getting hard. They are supposed to be flexible. A few years ago, in one of my churches, we have a sweet member who go to a quadruple bypass. And it was shocking to me because this person was very, very strict in her diet. This is not the person who will eat any kind of meat or any kind of like refined food. She was eating vegetables and fruits. Actually, it wasn't vegetables, only fruits. She called a fruitarian. She ate only fruits and nothing else in her diet. And to me, that was shocking. Why this is happening into her? Why, if she's so careful when her diet is happening into her? Then I discovered through these lectures that the balance in the diet is very important for all your body, right? That we need to consume certain oils, that they are essential in your body. Certain cholesterol is good for you. So if you don't have none of that in your body, eventually your arteries will suffer. So that was the problem for this lady. She was having a lack of nutrients and minerals, and that caused her arteries to get really hard. What is causing you and what is causing me to have our hearts getting hard? What do you think it is? And I can suggest to you a few things, right? We are focused more in the show and the presentation. We are more focused on the behavior and the act outside. And we are forgetting that we have a deeper problem, right? Our hearts are not good. We all had issues with our hearts. And we need to surrender every day to Jesus Christ. You see, communion today is an opportunity for us to come back to Jesus and ask for forgiveness, asking to help us to be better, to be good stewards. And I had to open my heart in a candid way today. It's something that it made me sad. And please don't take this in any wrong way, okay? I will say this in a very respectful way. But every single time that we had communion, we noticed that our attendance get very, very low. It happens only when we had communion. It's obvious to me for many, many, many years being here. Many, I continue saying that, right? People don't like to participate of communion. It seems like it's challenging for them, kind of like intimidating. I don't understand why. Because I know coming to the church, or I expect that you don't come to the church assuming that we are sinless, right? We come here because we need help. And we are coming because we want to partake of this ceremony and the side of getting better. And we want to have healing, spiritual healing, physical healing. So it shouldn't be a reason to don't partake of communion. Unless it's something in your mind who's telling you don't do it, right? Like, I don't know, what are the reasons behind that? Whatever the situation it is, I want you to pray for our church, you know, that everybody can feel encouraged to continue getting closer to God. Amen? So let's have our prayer, and after our prayer, we'll go, if you want, to the back rooms. Heavenly Father, today we want to ask you, O Lord, for our lives. We want to place our hearts in your hand and ask you, Lord, to help us to realize our issues, our problems. Maybe we are short patience when our spouses or when our families or when our kids, whatever the situation it is, we are asking you for your help. In Jesus' name, amen.